Good morning. My name is Paige Pisano, and I will be talking to you about skilled birth attendants and maternal mortality, and I have nothing to disclose. So the objective of my talk today is to evaluate the current global strategies towards achieving the Millennium Development Goal number 5, which is to reduce maternal mortality by 75% between 1990 and 2015, and to ask whether it will be effective in reducing the MMR in the most deprived rural areas. And as most of you know, the current strategy focuses on training and deploying skilled birth attendants and improving access to and upgrading emergency obstetric facilities. Now, in the 70s and 80s, the key role of traditional birth attendants was recognized in home births, and it was thought that perhaps they could be the link to bring women who were facing complications into health facilities. But for numerous reasons, which I can't get into right now, the maternal mortality continued to stagnate. And by the late 80s, early 90s, there was a lot of frustration and debate in the literature about what will work better and what should we do now to reduce the MMR. So in 1997, the Safe Motherhood Initiative decided that we needed to have an exclusive strategy focusing on skilled birth attendants who had prior medical training and the facilities that were required to support them. So in order to achieve our objective of determining how effective the current strategy is on reducing maternal mortality in developing countries, we looked into demographic and health survey data, and we determined that there are 35 countries globally where less than half of the women have access to SBAs. And you can see that of these countries, one of the things they have in common is very large, underserved rural areas where SBAs and access to facilities is very poor. And if you look at the regional maternal mortality rate in each of the four regions, you can kind of get a sense of the magnitude of the problem and the number of countries we're talking about. So what we were looking at is we wanted to know how much are these particular countries impacting the regional rates. And unsurprisingly, they're contributing, if you see the numbers in red on the right, they're contributing a disproportionate number of maternal deaths to the region, to each of the four regions. And overall, if you look at the 500,000 deaths occurring globally, these countries are contributing almost three-fourths of the maternal deaths. So basically what this says is that whatever strategy we put into place, it needs to be something that is going to address the needs of the majority of women in these countries. Now you can take a look at the trends in skilled birth attendance between 1987 and 2006. Out of the 35 countries I just mentioned, these are 26 countries which had trend data available. And you can see that it has been extremely difficult to increase ratio of skilled birth attendants to women in the countries where access is the poorest. There have been a few exceptions. Nepal and Cambodia and certain parts of Bangladesh have had dramatic improvements, but overall, most of the countries have either stayed the same or even gotten worse. So I'm going to talk quickly about three obstacles that threaten the success of the current strategy. The first being time. How long is it going to take to have the effect that we're looking for? Second being cost. And finally, choice. And what are the complex decision-making factors that determine whether women give birth in health facilities or at home? And again, our main concern is who are the women who are going to benefit right away or in the medium term, and which women are going to miss out? I'm going to skip that slide. And I'm going to talk first about time. And if we look at the short term, if we are able to improve the quality of facilities and increase the number of skilled birth attendants, most of the women who are going to benefit from this right away within the next 8 years are going to be women who are already using health facilities, planning to in the next birth, or they have, 24/7 access to skilled birth attendants that they can call home. In the medium term, the net is going to widen. There's going to be a larger proportion of women who benefit, obviously. There may be women from families who have never delivered in a health facility. Maybe the younger generation is going to notice that if quality improves, if access improves, that's another option that they could use. But we also have to admit this is not going to happen everywhere. I mean, the people who are lucky enough to live in those areas where the improvements happen will benefit and the rest of them will be in the same spot. And on the long term, we really can't say what safe motherhood is going to look like after 2025. We can only hope that there's going to be dramatic improvements based on current efforts that will improve things from the dismal conditions that women face today. But we also have to consider the total fertility rate in the countries where maternal mortality rate is the highest. Because as fast as we try to improve this ratio of skilled birth attendants to women, if women are having 5 to 6 children on average, it's going to be very tough for the government to keep pace with this. And I'll give an example of Ethiopia, which has the highest rate of home births in the world. There are 6 midwifery schools in operation, and it has the worst ratio of SBAs to population in Africa. Even if they improve the situation from what it is now by 5 times, they still only have 1 midwife for over 7,000 women who are scattered throughout rural, you know, mountainous, rocky areas. And that's if the population stays the same. I mean, if you look as recently as 1990, they had 51 million people, and in 8 years it's projected to double. So you can imagine the challenges the Ethiopian government and other such governments face. Secondly, so that's the issue of time, and now I'm going to talk about cost. There are valid concerns among many people about diversion of resources. I mean, we have an evidence-based strategy based on emergency obstetric care. We know it works. So people don't want to dilute the money in too many different directions. If we really want to, I mean, it's a huge task ahead of us. However, in this exclusiveness, there's a problem because there are very viable community-based options which are being either completely neglected or underutilized. And some examples include misoprostol to prevent or treat postpartum hemorrhage, and also it has great potential for reducing abortion-related mortality, two of the main killers of women worldwide. And there's a lot more that can be done with family planning, innovative new approaches, expanding access to methods. And finally, the technological scenario in 2008 and looking ahead is vastly different from what we had in the 70s when people were working with training TBAs. So there are things that lay people are going to be able to do in the future that they couldn't have even dreamed of at that time. The cost of training and retaining skilled birth attendants, on the other hand, is extremely high. It takes both a very long period of time to become an SBA, and for example, the Malawian government is spending up to $26,000 per nurse midwife that is trained. And once they graduate, there's the issue of retention, which there's a lot of discussion about today, and it hasn't been resolved in a way that can make people feel comfortable. There's still an ongoing thing. The WHO estimates of the 700,000 new SBAs that are required to cover the need by 2030, over half of those are going to have to be replacements. And finally, the issue of choice, that physical access is probably one of the major barriers to safer motherhood, but it's really not the only factor. There are many reasons why women are hesitant to go to facilities. For some facilities are accessible, like in Bangladesh and in parts of Guatemala, but the women are still not going. And it's well known the reasons why they're hesitant to go, and people are working on these things and improvements are happening, but these things are based on personal experience, friends and family's personal experience, and deep-seated fears, whether they're founded or not founded, they're not going to change overnight. So we have to factor those things in as well. So there's no question about the fact that emergency obstetric care saves maternal lives. If women can just deliver in a health facility or close to one, in case there's a complication, survival rates are going to definitely improve. But complete SBA coverage and decent access to facilities is just not possible in the short or medium term. And we're concerned about the priority areas where the MMR is the highest. Finally, in conclusion, I'm going to say that the health system strengthening strategy is important and valid, and we need to hold on to that. But we also have to be more realistic about the challenges that we're facing. And the current policy is really too rigid. It needs some amendments to be able to incorporate community-based solutions that will impact the health of rural women who can't reach these services. And finally, we need to start training existing providers and life-saving strategies such as misoprostol for use in home birth settings, because as long as we can't create an ideal scenario for women in these areas, we need to be able to do something there where they're giving birth with the providers that are helping them. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. That was a great introduction to some of the subsequent sessions we're going to have. Our next one is going to be by Sushanti from Indonesia, who's going to give us an update on the massive village midwife project that's been going on there for quite a long time. So welcome, Sushanti.
Let's see if we can get to your...